Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Jeff Bradbury Show, a podcast dedicated to helping you amplify your impact on the world around you. If you're a creator, innovator, leader, or entrepreneur searching for the right tools, strategies, or inspiration, you're in the right place. Each week, we sit down with influential individuals who are shaping our world to uncover the stories and strategies behind their success, all centered around one powerful question: what does it truly take to make a lasting impact? Before we dive into today's conversation, please take a moment to subscribe to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms. The Jeff Bradbury Show is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or you can watch the full video interview on our YouTube channel by searching for The Jeff Bradbury Show. Your support helps us reach more people and continue bringing these valuable conversations right to you. Because this show is more than just an interview, it's a forum for sharing the ideas and legacies that are shaping our world. So thank you for being here. Let's get started. My guest today has been called a pioneer in the green environment movement. He certainly has a passion for creating a positive impact on the environment, inspiring others to embrace sustainability and make a conscious choice that benefits the planet. He's also the founder and CEO of Emerald Ecovations, which offers tree-free towel and tissue products, compostable tableware, and non-toxic cleaning supplies. And you can learn more about his work over at emeraldecovations.com. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Ralph Bienculli. Ralph, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me tonight.
It is great to meet you. It is great to have you here. I loved learning about the work that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, my background goes as deep as food service operations. Then it led myself into distribution and manufacturing. So I've been in the circle of paper and plastics for the last 35 years.
You have had an amazing career, not only supporting the planet, but supporting those around you. How did you get into being a business owner? What was it about that entrepreneurial spirit that hit you? When did all that happen for you?
I think the spark happened in the mid-90s when I recognized, with a little bit of research, finding out how difficult some of the materials we were using and the damage it was doing to our planet. It inspired me to look at options, which gave me the impetus to travel around the world, looked at a lot of different technologies in paper and plastics, and found that we were literally 20 years behind the curve. So that was really the beginning. And it's been a long road, and we all know pioneering is painful, but it's been an exciting trip, and we continue to drive our passion and our mission.
Now, you created Emerald Ecovations, I believe, in 97. Am I correct at that?
Yes. One of the companies that we spun off of from Georgia-Pacific, and we created the company called Paradigm. Paradigm was the beginning of our supply side business, but more importantly, it spent a lot of time and energy in building out the R&D for what is today the Emerald Ecovations portfolio of over 370 products.
What was your first one?
A paper cup. It was really a simple portfolio of beginning to see where the biggest consumption was. So we really were inspired by looking at what products were being consumed in high velocities and why are we cutting trees down to make a paper cup. And that was really one of the beginnings.
I remember hearing a story, maybe you can elaborate a little bit on a moment that you were showing others what happens on a regular styrofoam cup and just how part of that styrofoam cup becomes part of the coffee. I might be saying that wrong, but how did that whole let's start with a paper cup company?
Well, that's truly a great story, and it's been resonating now for the last couple of years. Back in the late 90s, I was one of the largest suppliers of foam cups. And for those of your listeners, remember the days of foam products. I realized quickly that this foam product was a problem, did my research, and went to most of the clients we had at that time were large consumers of coffee. And with that, they utilized a lot of foam cups. But that storyline goes back to where I went to one of the largest roasters in the country. They were there doing their cupping with their $35 a pound coffee. And I said, well, let's test it in the foam cups and see how the flavor goes. And that experiment quickly turned into what the hell is coming to the surface of this coffee. And it was the extract from the petrochemicals out of the foam cup. And from being the largest supplier of foam products across the country, within a year and a half, we were the largest supplier of paper cups, which was the first step in the right direction. And as you know today, Starbucks has never used a foam product, and the reason being, they truly understood that way back in the 90s.
So it sounds like from an early opportunity there, you had your aha moment. It doesn't seem like it was that difficult to share that aha moment with others to get them to realize that eco-friendly is the way to go.
It really was. It was the principal stepping stone to what we further down the road delivered so many multiple solutions just by understanding the technology and fibers and how we can utilize them in a better way.
What's the math problem on here, Ralph? If you switch from foam cups to, you know, somebody who has a coffee every day on a foam cup versus on one of your amazing cups, how many trees are we really saving here? What is the environmental impact that Emerald Ecovations is having on the planet?
Well, that's a work in progress, because today what we represent in the consumption side with our environmental products, including paper cups, annually, we're still cutting down 32 million trees to make paper cups. And that was our turning stone into bringing our renewable fiber technology, which today, tree-free, is one of our greatest inventions in terms of where we went with our fibers. And today, we don't cut trees down to make paper cups. And we don't cut trees down to make a lot of the disposables and everyday essentials we use. So it's an incredible journey.
So if not trees, what kind of products do you use?
Well, that's what we do on the educational piece, because what you're asking is one of the things that really built our educational platform, where we brought and delivered that to the corporate world in the beginning, and now it's spreading into many other sectors. But we utilize fibers that we aggregate from the farmland after they harvest their crops. We also commission farmers to grow, you know, in some cases, thousands of acres of fibers that are utilized in other materials we use. And that is everything from a product called miscanthus, which is a fast-growing fiber, grows up to 7 feet, to the byproducts of corn after corn is harvested and sugarcane is harvested, right? So bagasse is the byproduct of the sugarcane after the cane is harvested. These fibers, because of the attributes they have, and without getting too technical, and that's some of the things that we convey in our educational platforms, those fibers, those contents play a tremendous role in the way we produce them, the way we manufacture these materials. So the functionality, the price points are all delivered for what an alternative is to what everyday tree-borne materials or even petrochemicals materials are made from.
I'm curious, you mentioned that you're now up to over 300 SKUs or so. Outside of cups, what are the other leading products that you have? What else have you been able to convert over into non-tree products?
And that's been the evolution. And today, with over 370 products in our portfolio, it ranges from everyday essentials. Every day you're touching, you know, 5 to 10 of our products, right? It's from paper cups to napkins to tissues to facial tissues, toilet tissues, to when you go into the restroom and use a hand towel. These products are being used every day, and the consumption is huge. And when you look at what we're doing on our impact in our environmental ESG reporting, it's phenomenal, because it lends into the entire carbon reduction, water reduction, tree reduction. And in many cases, because our materials are completely compostable, and they are now utilizing these products in composting facilities. So landfill diversion is another incredible statistic and metric that we're reporting to our clients every month.
You had just mentioned that, you know, we're using your products every day. Would we know it? Is the business model creating the product and licensing it out with other, like, how does everything work from your factory to our homes?
And that's a great question. And when you're in an industry that we're in, we are up against some very big legacy producers of goods. And I don't have to name who they are. We all know who makes, you know, certain toilet tissues and paper cups. And they're very big legacy players. We're a disruptor in the space for sure. So with us, it's a very crowded field out there with the big players. And what we do is client by client, and we do mostly away from home business because it has the biggest impact on the consumption. So our products are touching about 1.2 million individual clients a day. So it's a big impact, but we have to work twice as hard as the players who have been doing what they're doing for 100 years and haven't changed. So it's always an uphill battle.
Let's talk a little bit about education here. You mentioned it earlier. You know, a large part of our audience is education. There's a growing number of school districts' curriculum that are turning to be more environmental friendly. You know, I do cafeteria duty just about every day, and we see kids just going seriously from the cafeteria line, and they just toss the stuff right in. What can we do to support the mission that you are on to be more eco-friendly, especially in our school districts, especially in our cafeterias, and even with the lessons that we're teaching our students? How can we, as an educational community, be more eco-friendly?
Well, you mentioned a lot, and it's all of the above, Jeffrey. Everything that you mentioned is what we are doing. We're spearheading into 26, a big movement into the educational space. We brought on an individual that was running the food operations for the New York City Board of Education, feeding 1.1 million children a day. So he's been working with our team now. I am very passionate about educating the entire supply chain, but I think the most important is the educational space. And we want to penetrate that space, deliver just the facts and figures from the earliest age we can. So one of the objectives into 26 is to work hand in hand. We're in discussions with many states across the country right now, particularly in the educational space. But we do have an accreditation program. It's very robust. We have over 3,000 graduates that are industry graduates that are in the current supply chain or corporate clients who are very passionate about learning. But it's an ongoing platform. It's a changing environment. So today, laws are changing. And the fact is, it's important for everyone to understand what the product is made of. Where does it come from? Where does it go? And when we inspire that, we're seeing in corporate America, which again, we're quite significant in the corporate footprints, they are very much passionate about what they're doing. And it, you know, if we can do that at the K through 12, I think we're going to change our entire thought process on waste stream management in this country, which needs to be done. We're 10 years behind the rest of the world. We need to catch up.
What would it take for us to catch up those 10 years?
It's going to take a lot. It's going to take pioneers like us to really push the facts of what we're doing up against legacy players, which hopefully we can convince them to start changing their ways. Chemicals being used, tree-borne materials, petrochemicals. These aren't necessary to make products. We're exhibit A in what it takes to change something. But in order to change, we need that baseline of education. We need a conveyance of what it takes to make these changes. And it's not difficult. It really isn't. We do it every day. I think it's going to take educators, your audience, I think is very important to, really pick and choose, whether it's in our categories of industry or others associated with environmental movements, vet them out, ask the tough questions. You know, there's a lot of, I don't want to say fake players in the space, but there are players in the space that really don't go the full 100 yards, right? They played a role. They call themselves a green product. And I challenge anybody to say, put us up against anybody else in the space, and then you make a decision. Who's the most educated? Who really understands it from cradle to cradle? But it's going to take the educational space that your audience is really involved and really embrace it, because those are the change makers. those K through 12s. And as we go into higher ed, it's going to be the same thing. And it works around the world. We need it to work here in the USA.
When you are talking to your peers, those who are running other companies, which, you know, we can all think of names for, is there pushback in this movement? Is it, this is the way we've always done things, so we're not going to jump into the eco-friendly? Like, what is so wrong with just trying to go all in on saving the planet instead of, I think you mentioned 32 million trees a year?
Just for paper cups, right?
Just for paper cups.
Right. Another 30 million plus trees for toilet tissue. So to answer your question, let's face it, industries have one objective, right? To make money. And a lot of these industry legacy players, their investments are in how do they make things faster, not better, and not change their math in what they've been doing for 100 years. Those industry players aren't going to change overnight. The only way they're going to change is when the consumer forces them to change. And that's what our job is. Our job is to get the consumers to force them to change. Meanwhile, we'll continue to be that disruptor.
You know, you just gave me a number that I think everybody can understand. 50 million trees a year just to have a cup of coffee and to take care of yourself. That's a lot. Let's use some figures here that people can visualize. If you're going to cut down a tree, you figure that tree needs to be 50, 60, 70 years old. One would imagine something in that. That's a long time for that investment for that one tree. Ralph, if I gave you an open plot of farmland and said, go create a piece of land that is actually building the products that are going into your cups, how long does it take to raise that bamboo tree? How long does it take to make those other materials to then become, you know, one of your SKUs, I guess?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of what our technology is. We sometimes have a dual harvest in a season. So our renewable fibers can grow anywhere between 6 and 12 months.
Oh, wow.
Unlike a 35 to 40 year tree. Trees, again, part of our educational process. And a lot of your educators probably know this, those who are in the science field. Trees are one of the largest sequesters of carbon. And they release oxygen. So they are really the lungs of the world, yet we abuse it. We cut them down. With that deforestation comes additional carbon into the atmosphere and less oxygen being projected. So there is so much that is so deep into what we do. And again, I think to answer your question, it's really a no-brainer. Why are we cutting trees down when we can bring a finished product that's functional, priced right, to the marketplace that can go back to its organic state after being composted, all done within a 6 to 8 month growing period, right? And at the same time, we're putting farmers to work, which is a beautiful thing. A lot of the farmland, as I travel across the country, has been decimated, as we all know, and regenerating soils after 6 or 7 years becomes problems if they're not actively growing. So there's a lot of attributes that come along with our technology. And that's part of our education. And the more educated our consumers are, it's easier to make the decisions.
Well, talk to me a little bit about the farmers. The materials that you're sourcing, is there a particular part of the country that is more beneficial to growing them?
Yeah, we work with multiple fibers, multiple plant fibers, everything that I mentioned earlier from sugarcane, which is really a southern type of product, to miscanthus, which can be grown right throughout the entire country in temperature grades from 46 degrees to 95 degrees. So it's an array of products that can be born in different parts of the country. So we have a very robust ongoing aggregate of these materials. We own an Arkansas. We own a plant that aggregates between 5 and 10 tons of miscanthus a week. these are the types of materials that are being used in our products. So the product is easily aggregated around the country. And at the same time, we're putting a lot of farmers back to work. We pay them a very fair rate for their acreage. So it's really a well-robin program. And that's part, again, I keep mentioning education. What podcasts like yours and others that we've been invited to across different channels and businesses, it's conveying the message. And I hope your audience, takes that extra step to learn a little bit more about what this technology is and what we really have done.
Ralph, you've been doing this for going on 30 years now. What's one of your biggest accomplishments that you can share with us? What's one of those things that you're really proud of out there that you can say, looking back, I'm glad that we're doing this. This really has made a difference.
I got to tell you, it's really a simple answer. We do on sites when we roll out our programs. So for instance, we just converted the entire Empire State building and its 10 million square feet of commercial properties all into our tree-free materials. So we do our on sites. And, when I have the opportunity to be on site, I think it's really simple. I think the smile on the faces of those individuals that realize that, they didn't kill a tree to have a cup of coffee, right? Kill a tree to utilize a facial tissue. It really is a very simple answer. I just love the responses we get. There's not one frown on their face when they recognize there could be a change and they're actively involved in it. So it's really that simple.
It's awesome. Talking today to Ralph Beancooley from Emerald Ecovations. And Ralph, not only are you working in education, not only are you working to help out our farmers, but you're also helping other industries. You recently announced a partnership with horse racing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we do as a company is we identify commercial size businesses or commercial size entertainment venues. The consumption of materials on these sites, whether it's a football stadium or a racetrack or any other type of big footprint, college campuses and universities, when they see what our environmental metrics show them, when they convert to our materials, it's pretty amazing. So as we look into larger footprints outside of the corporate America footprints we work with today, and we work with some of the largest Fortune 500 companies in the country. So we're touching, like I said, quite a few individuals every day with my materials. But the racetrack operation was something that I was always passionate about. I love thoroughbred horses. I have a small farm, so I'm very much an environmentalist, and we breed and deliver the foals right here on our farm. So it's an exciting area of concentration for me personally. And we just did a 3-year program with the new venue that's being built here on Long Island, New York, the new Belmont Racetrack. That venue now will be completely tree-free. We did a huge rollout in Saratoga this year in upstate New York at their racetrack facility. And it does resonate because the consumers, the patrons, they recognize that these venues can change their habits, right? Instead of throwing plastic things into the garbage that never get recycled, these are the types of venues we are going to continue to pursue.
And the horses are enjoying the products, drinking from the cups and stuff?
Well, it's funny, Jeffrey, but what we found in one of our materials, particularly our miscanthus material, which is an incredible fiber, what we found, and it was almost accidental, I'd be honest with you, we never realized utilizing it in our finished goods is one thing, but it's fast becoming one of the most attractive bedding materials for pets.
Oh.
So we have now introduced that into the horse industry where they're utilizing it for bedding. And we're going to be introducing it into the small animal pet bedding. So it's you never know what you're going to find out, but these are the funny things that happen when you're constantly innovating.
Ralph, where do you see yourself and especially eco-friendly products such as yours 5-10 years from now?
I think being one of the pioneers in this technology and being the only producer of tree-free paper in the USA today, I think as we continue to break the barriers of entry And those barriers, you know, are 100 years old. We're going to see a mainstream. But again, I think it's in 5 years, I could see some of the major producers understanding that we have broke the barrier and it's time for them to change their thinking. But it's going to take the consumers to make those decisions, right? It's always, you know, you vote with your pocketbooks, and the more we can resonate that, I think the faster we're going to see a converting. And I have no issue, having market share and, you know, I'm not a public company, we're a private company. If I see our competitors understanding that this is the way to go, it makes me just as happy.
If somebody out there is looking for some more information about your company and some of the products, or if a school district listening to this is saying, how do I transform what I'm currently using into eco-friendly products, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can contact us at info@emeraldecovations.com. They can, you know, request any type of information, or go to emeraldecovations.com webpage, which is a beautiful webpage, and it'll give them all the information they need. So we'd love to hear from some of your listeners.
And if you guys do, make sure that you tell them that you heard it first here over on the Jeff Bradbury Show. Ralph, I want to say thank you for coming on. I would love to do a follow-up, and maybe we can continue with some of the people who are out there using your products, and maybe we can get a couple horses on or something like that. But I would love to continue this. I mean, this is such an amazing topic to not only hear about, learn about, and report about, but there's so many school districts out there. And you had mentioned colleges and campuses and things like that. I mean, this is something that every single school district should be thinking about, worrying about. And frankly, it doesn't take that much to support the environment. 50 million trees is a lot when it doesn't have to be. It could be something so much different in this world. Ralph, for 30 years you've been doing this, I got to say thank you so much for leading the support. But thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it, and it's great meeting you.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey, and I do appreciate the time.
And one more time, we want to say thank you so much to Ralph for coming on the show and sharing his passions for creating an eco-friendly world. And one last thing before we go. This podcast is all about the people with big ideas and the stories behind their impact on the world around them. If you're looking for actionable playbooks and productivity systems to apply these ideas to your own brand, I invite you to subscribe to my weekly Substack newsletter, Amplify by Jeff Bradbury. You can find more information over at teachercast.net/amplify. And if you found this conversation valuable, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to support the show and help us bring these important conversations to more people. And remember, you can find the full video of every episode on our YouTube channel. This show is a platform for creators and leaders who are shaping our world. If you or somebody you know is amplifying their impact and has a story to share, we invite you to connect with us. Visit jeffreybradbury.com to learn more about being a guest. Thank you for tuning into today's show. And remember, your passions give your voice power. Go amplify it.